to use my brain for you and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me up 'cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of my best. I don't need words and I don't need songs, but I choose to use them. My light shines red when it shines for you. Whoa, I ain't blowing smoke. No, this ain't hot air. How I choose to love you. Light shines red when it shines for two. You turn on the truth in me. You light up my heart with possibilities. I'm getting everything I need, 'cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, 'cause you're giving everything I need.
I
don't need words.
Of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding more, that we'll better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you already have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you have made available to those that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will and giving us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us, dear Lord, to grow in the knowledge of you. We're asking right now, Lord, that you would bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, amen. Pray for me because there's some changes going on here in my little studio area and technology changes, and I'm making some more changes coming, so bear with me. But anyway, the main thing here is that today's message, I wrote a book. It's called The Millennial Guide to Christianity Without Religion. And what I call that, and what I call training day, this is what the Lord gave me. He said it's called the period. You know, you can take every message you have heard from most of the men of God that has been fruitful to you, because you know all of them are not, and put a period at the end. You know, the whole point of this ministry is to answer a question, why? You know, it's amazing that my biggest test for this has been atheists. They've never had the answer, why? And they, you know, they try to butt, but I noticed a few of them, particularly those who were former Christians, have to give it some consideration. Because at the end of the day, when you can't say that you went and asked God about it, you took that initiative on your own, and that's a dangerous situation. And see, and if it sparked a little something in somebody, I have done my job. And that's the whole point of this. You know, I remember when the Lord sent me down this path. For the new people, amen, it's different. The only difference is knowing that God let the devil exist. You know, I know that logic, listen, you're dealing with a God that don't have a birthday, okay? I mean, he's God. I mean, he's beyond the imagination. You know, I wish I could remember the name of the book that I had. It was about 21 scientists, and these 21 scientists, we're going to put to rest the fact that there's a God. Well, by the end of the book, 20 of them were saved. And I'm sure since that time, the last one got saved. Because they the ones that made me get on a plane and go to Las Vegas. It was opportune at the time, too. Amen. Just so I can see the Grand Canyon. Because they had concluded with their mathematics, and I think their math is off, but the point is, according to their math, it would take another 10 million years for the Colorado River to make the Grand Canyon. If you've ever seen the Grand Canyon, you would know that river, we ain't been here that long. I know what Bible time. Bible say we've been here. Now, I don't know, but the flood, okay, happened about, what, 4,000 years ago, 5,000, about 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, yep. It 4,000 years ago with the flood, and they say the flood made the Grand Canyon. Okay, because that's the only time there's been enough water to carve it out like it is. But that's not the point I'm hitting. Today's topic is enduring to the end, and while you can go to Matthew chapter 22, and Jesus is talking about to his disciples about it. Enduring to the end, because that's where we are right now. We just have to make this, we just have to make this last little bit of the journey. You know, I remember they said long time ago, and they said, nah, this is not a sprint. It's a marathon. You just have to breathe right and pace yourself and just keep going. You know, when you run long distance, you talk to yourself. Amen. The talking. And you create your own world. I mean, and it's amazing how that works. You know, and after a while, you know, you start out and you start to stride. Well, once you get your lungs get to go through, your body goes through a whole lot of changes. You go through this phase where your lungs heat up and it feels like they're going to blow up, and then they cool off. And then, you know, it seems like you don't have the energy, and then all of a sudden it's like you get this thing. They call it a runner's high. You get the going, and you just keep going. Now, let's read this here so we can get on into this, you know, because here, this is Jesus. I'm reading out of the NIV, New International Version, for the new folk. Amen. Now, understand this about Bible. There are versions and translations. They're not changing. They're trying to make it clearer for you. Sometimes they do a good job. Not always. You always want to have a copy of the King James for comparison, because it was drafted from the original text of Hebrew and Greek. The New Testament is written in Greek, and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And in some cases, Aramaic, which is a higher level of Hebrew. But anyway, Jesus in Matthew 10, verse 16, he says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils, flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them, to the Gentiles, to them and to the Gentiles. And when they arrest you, do not worry about what they say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children rebel against their parents and have them put to death. And all men will hate you because of me, and this is the key phrase, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. You know, we are, like I said, we are in a crucial time in history, and unlike any other time in history. You know, there's an asteroid headed to Earth that has been by here many times. Nobody knows, but they know it comes by, and it's amazing. It comes by every 7 years, and every 7 years, it's in lockstep with the seven-year period that God created for Israel to remember festivals. And it's amazing, particularly the seven-year Sabbath period. You know, every 7 years, they were supposed to get a land rest. Every 6 years, and the seventh year the land rested, and it's so much connect, amazing. You know, when I hear teachers teach, you got to seek that out, because again, I've always believed and I still believe now. Listen, when we get so close to the rapture, Jesus said that no man know the day or the hour. Why did he leave out the week and the month, the year? Because it's going to be so. We got all these markers. He's not intent for us to be deceived or lost. He said, be not deceived. He said that so many times, be not deceived, be not deceived, be not deceived. All right, he intent for us to make it. He didn't create us for us to fail, you know. All right, so we're talking about making it to the end because, you know, what he just said that was going to happen to them did happen, okay? You know, it's amazing that people will hate you for doing right. Ain't that crazy? Now, you know, on the Jewish end, I understood them, particularly like Apostle Paul, who was the Hitler of his day before God gave him the revelation of Jesus, okay? That's when I began praying that prayer in the revelation, the spirit of wisdom, in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. See, that's connecting wisdom with what you should know about Jesus and how God is presenting him, and that's the Bible. That's the whole Bible, believe it or not. That's the whole Bible. It is something. But so the point here is to get you to the end. Okay? So What Jesus was telling them now, Dan, that they were limited in access to revelation knowledge. Okay, they had the word, because all the word, all the promises of God that were made, even the promises like Philippians 4:19 are based on the promises God made to Abraham. Okay, And there are books on that that give you a lot of detail. And you want to know, though, because what that means is there are promises God made to cover every area of your life. Now, understand, they were, it's a term I can't say, but they were the first of. So it's a lot of things they didn't know, didn't have time to experience and practice that we do know, okay, through time, okay? For one, they didn't have the protection of the United States government and the U.S. Constitution. So some of those things that they went through, now there will come a time. If you get left behind after the rapture, I guarantee you will experience the suspension of religious freedom. There's a fear now from some that that's going to happen even before the rapture. I'm pretty much sure it ain't. Okay, because I'm not the only one that understands some things about how to access the power of God. Like I tell you, I don't get my lights don't get blacked out. You know, the last time my lights got blacked out, I was experimenting because I wanted to see my Generac work. Satan took that out too, even knocked my Generac out. I ain't letting him do that no more. But to be able to say that. Now, that's not printed in the Bible. You have to see, because the Bible used terms, you know, in prayer and in fasting. And, man, I tell you, I just heard a message Sunday on that issue about the promises of God are not automatic. Listen, you have to be actively involved, and that's what this is about. For you to make it to the end, you have to be more active with God. You got to make some changes. If you may need to make some. See, some of you, a lot of you, I know are right where I'm at. You know, you set your priorities in a whole different light. You know what? I don't think I got time for that because that's where I'm at. You know, I've been pursuing some things, but I'm like, you know what? I think I make this because I'm right now. My main concern is those that don't know anything about Jesus. You know, and I'm battling. That's a war. That's a war. I mean, to get out there and minister. You know, I ask people every week, do you know Jesus coming back? And I get no. And it's incredible. All right. So we're talking about enduring to the end. So the key is, I mean, because you got to understand this. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become Satan's enemy. Now, understand, there's a territory of war. You cannot think of the word spiritual warfare as a cliche. You know, you need to know how to conduct warfare. You have to learn. Listen, and I'm not going to tell you what church to go to, but I do know you need to. Nowadays, with access to the internet, you can't say you don't know that because your pastor don't. And I realize there are some pastors that are not like Pastor O, okay, that teach you everything about the word. I know this because you got some of these, our family, they believe part of the Bible, okay? But listen, you're at a level now. If you don't know it, see, and that's the other thing, by not being under prophetic leadership or knowing somebody who's a prophetic leader, you didn't get the word that God has changed the level of warfare. If you're not engaging, God would just let you get beat down. There are a lot of people that died over the last few years that should still be here. But they stuck with a level of warfare that allowed Satan to take them out. Now, I've been through COVID. I recently had an attack of COVID. We fought. We didn't fight. We ain't fighting no days, dude. You ugly. And I don't let ugly stay around me. And I use the same tactic that I use on cancer. Talking. Speaking. Cursing. Same way. See, I ain't got time to teach on that right now, but broadly, but you got to endure to the end because, you know, Jesus said, let me see here where he got. Let's go to John 16:33. John 16:33. So you got to pay attention, and you got to read the word. If you don't read the word, you're doing yourself harm. You know, you can't make this journey without the word, because you don't know what you're fighting. You don't know. You don't understand the battle. You don't have the tools of the battle. All right. Again, he's See, he knows right now Jesus is getting ready to go to the place where he's going to be crucified for our sins. Okay? And if you go back, and that was going to happen. You have to learn to respect the reality that God brought you for when he created Adam. But you are accountable to him. And he demands accountability. And Paul said in Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God will not accept denial of that. Okay? Now, and there's a price to be paid. And the price was paid by Jesus. There's lots of teaching on that. But remember this. Don't read the Bible. When you start out the Bible, when you pick up your Bible, get ready to read it, pray and ask God for revelation. You read a book about the Bible, pray and ask God about a revelation. When you listen to a video or CD, DVD, pray and ask God for a revelation. Now, anyway, let's see here. John 16, I'm going to start with verse 32. He said, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered. He's preparing his disciples, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, when you become a Christian, this ain't heaven. It's a road to heaven. But it ain't heaven. And one thing that I have seen over the years is meeting people who got beat up so much that they quit going to church. They turn their back on God. Or they say they believe God, but they just say can't deal with the church. Well, that ain't believing God. That's falling into selfishness. Jesus said the two top commandments, his top is love God and love your neighbor with everything you got. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, everything you got, your spirit, pour it all out. Now, think about that. That means opposition is coming. Jesus just said, you shall have trouble. And the King James would say tribulation. That's a lot of trouble. Why? Now, all this goes back to day one of training day. Okay? You're a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion inside of a body. Okay? And we're headed to the third level of man. And that is mankind with the ability to do things like teleport. And I'm so glad to see other larger ministry leaders starting to talk about this, you know, because now, you know, you get less blowback. Now, see, but I don't have their territory. Y'all are my territory, okay? But it is, you know, my pastor, he talked about it, you know, because you really have to look at what this is about. You can't overlook it. Forgive me, but to have that level of authority, look what people do with power. Look at what's going on in the world. Why are we still having wars in the 21st century? Because men can't do two things, love God and love their neighbor. That's all that hangs on that. Everything hangs on that. Jesus summarized. He said, on that hangs all the law and the prophets. Now, so when we get to the third level, we go through yet the final training period. And it is 1,000 years long. Okay? That's in the book of Revelation, I believe, chapter 19 and 20. All right? Now, because think about that. God does everything with purpose. He don't just do stuff because he's like, oh, well, you know what, man? I'm bored up here. Let's make man and let's send him through all this trouble. And then we'll just stretch him out. And then when we take him to the next level, we'll give him another 1,000 years. Yeah, that'll be interesting. What do you think about that, Michael? You know? And But no, listen, he knew from day one what we were going to be like. He knew, but don't get caught up in that. Well, you know, God understands we human. Yeah, he do understand we human. That's why originally hell was only for demons. It was only for Satan and his followers. But because men chose that same rebellious route that they have chosen to go there, so men get to volunteer to go there too. God don't make nobody go nowhere. They all volunteer. You know, people that are organically brain damaged and a whole lot of other people, not a whole lot, but there's some people he exempt for a lot of reasons. But for the most part, you're highly intelligent individual that reject God, you're going to burn forever because you can't go back to being nothing. It's not even possible. Science even know that now. All right. So the kicker to this thing is that you have to endure all that. Now, the key, one of the key factors to enduring that is having a prayer life. Sanctioning yourself, aligning yourself with the purpose of God makes this life a lot easier to live because at the end of the day, it's about you being subject to him. You know, I was watching this docudrama on 9/11, and even though it was a fictitious of characters, the mindset I have experienced and heard with my own ears over the years, and to hear people say they mad at God. No, why are you mad at God? Because of your spiritual ignorance. That's what, listen, I know I've heard testimony of people who said they were going to go to work and the Holy Spirit told them not to go. So the people that, if people are so into, they're going to do their own thing, their own way, and the only goals they have in their mind are theirs, and they've never talked to God. And I'm talking about Christians, too. Never talk to God every day, 7 days a week, unless they need something. Or somebody around mention him, and then they'll join in the choir. See, listen, you can't make it like that now. The game has changed. You know, in Acts 17:30, let me make sure here. Let me get this right. I want y'all to get this right. I got people that are, and I thank God for you, new and old. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there's a process, okay? Each generation, okay, and it says, man, I should read all this, but when you get a chance, go back and read this, you know, about Paul on Mars Hill. You know what? I think I will. We got time. Anyway, it says, and then Paul stood up in the meeting of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. Well, I walked around and looked carefully I'm in Acts chapter 17, verse 22, because I didn't tell you. So before I walked around and looked carefully at the objects of worship, even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God, in all capital letters. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. He did this so men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets said. We are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that divine being is like gold or silver or stone or an image made by man's design or skill. That's the key phrase I want to pick up. And in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, okay? And the point of this is that, you know, it's that God, like I said, at some point, you got to grow. if you're still the same way you was, you've been a Christian for 2 years and you still haven't read the whole New Testament, you don't know really know who God is. You haven't connected with him. It is no way, no way. I just can't believe you know who the true and the living God is and you haven't read, because you want to know then, if you know him, once I came to know him, I sat down, I went and bought a $2 Bible, read the whole thing. Took me about a year, okay, because I had to read and work and all that, and then try to get through the language. But I just read. You need to read it. I'm not talking about break it down and analyze it and go through all the historical aspects of it. That comes later, because it tells you in Timothy that Paul told me, he said, study to show yourself approved. See, if you had read the whole thing, you would have read that verse, which means how can a person not read the Bible? I realize there's a part of the body. I'm going to give them that because they claim it anyway. They have for years had a ban on reading the Bible. That shows you the effect of the devil, how he can take pride and manipulate men, you know. And ban, how you going to tell Christians to not read the Bible when the Bible tells you in both the Old and the New Testament to learn of me? There's no place else you can learn of God. You can sit down. This is why you have. That's why they had all those different types of religions. And there's more. See, when Satan, the Antichrist, comes, he's going to be doing that same thing. He's coming with him presenting himself as God. And people going to get deceived. Why? Because they don't know the word. They wouldn't have been left behind if they knew the word. That's the number one factor you got to have to make this journey. You got to take your time out. Nothing is more important than that, okay? Because you don't have no guarantee. All your plans have no guarantee. You don't know you can hear the end of this message. You don't know tomorrow. You only know right now. You don't know right now. You know, I started to look up to see how many people have died because they got hit in the head with a meteorite. See, because we don't think about these little things. I've had little things happen through my life that really make you think how people can go. I mean, when I became a deputy, you know, with police, this is something but most public people don't know about police. They have to do this detail card, or used to. They don't have the manpower for it now. Called death watch, and that was the person would be dead at home, and you know, so they go there, and then somebody got to stay there till the medical examiner come, unless there's family there. But you know, you learn some other things, and you got to answer calls about death. You know, how many people trip? Who expects down the steps and break their neck and die? Who expects to slip in a bathtub and break their neck and die? I mean, people still electrocuting themselves. That's amazing. With all this improvement in technology, they still blowing up stuff in microwaves and getting hit with shrapnel and dying. And that, car accidents. I mean, it's incredible. People drive drunk, you know. And now you got them driving drunk, smoking marijuana while they're on the cell phone. Point of the matter is, you don't know how long you're going to be here. So how can anything but God be top priority? Because the one thing about it, if you don't have an afterlife insurance with Jesus Christ Mutual, you hit. But a lot of people want to come back and say, okay, I believe it. You don't get to come back. Ain't no parole. Ain't no out date. The next show up they're going to do is at the white throne, and that's that. So you want to make it. Now, you know, because, one, Satan is after you. That's the given. God let him exist. But once you come into Christ, once you receive Christ, you now hold authority. You're no longer under his authority. You make the, if you do what he's saying, it's a choice. Actually, it's a choice before you get saved, but it's definitely a choice after you get saved, okay? So because the thing that you got to remember, like I said, you living this life, the point of the challenges is for you to learn to arrest your spirit, learn to manage your spirit under pressure so that you are showing God you have a revelation that he is God, okay, and that in the next life he can trust you with full power. Right now, what they say, we use 15% of our man, well, you're going to use 100%. That's what happened with a Christian when they die. They use 100%. You need 100% of your man to leave here to go to the throne of God and report for judgment through the Bema, to the judgment seat of Christ, okay? You know, to give account for all the deeds done in the flesh, you know? Anyway, because you notice we don't take caskets to Cape Canaveral and load them on a rocket ship and send them out of space to heaven. No, they don't work like that. Angel come and guide you, show you how to get your flights going, and then y'all jet on across the universe, get there faster than the speed of thought. All right, without burning up on top of that. Scientifically, they say that's impossible. But then, you know what? We're dealing with the God of impossibility. All right, so you're going to have these challenges. And as we get closer to the end, see what Jesus was saying, some of the things don't directly affect us, particularly in this world, although, remember this, pray for the persecuted Christians. They're all over the world. It's 300, they say, now 300 million under persecution because why? The body of Christ is growing. And that's amazing. How you going to persecute somebody that want to do right? That ain't nothing but the devil. Why? Because this is something you got to remember. As a Christian, you have authority over him, and then he don't want you to learn. See, if he can't bribe you, he's going to try to kill you. He's going to do one or the other. And as we get closer to the end, he's going to crank them tools up even more. And you got to know who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ in order to make this journey's end. I'm telling you, we are close. Anybody of age, if you're 30, 40, you've seen some stuff that we never saw. I mean, it's picking up pace. Earthquakes are picking up pace. Storms are picking up pace. With them things, they're not meteorites. With them hailstones are getting bigger. And then there's a time coming when a hailstone going to get bigger, over 50 pounds. you don't want to be here for that. So you want to make it to the end, okay? So and like I say, don't fall into that. Well, I'm just human. No, listen. You are supposed to be learning how to manage your spirit, not learn how to let your flesh run your body. It ain't gonna do no good for you. Your flesh is about the same. It had the same intelligence, actually, or decision making capability, I would say, that it had when you was a baby. It doesn't know. I mean, why you see 600-pound people? They flesh telling them what to do. I don't know why the government pampered them anyway. See, when I was coming up to government, there were no 600-pound people. The government was like, you know what? One thing about it, if I don't give you no money, you ain't going to gain no weight. This is a weak government. They weak and then try to pretend like they strong and intelligent and got people sucking in. And that is what they're going to use. I'm telling you. Prosperity got Israel in more trouble than poverty, because you see, when people are under financial pressure, they'll seek God and they'll plead with God and they'll pray to God and they'll beg God. But you take that off of them, then that becomes a whole different issue. Or they'll still go to church and they'll still worship, or they pretend to. But once they leave His house, God say, people can't even tell you belong to me. And then you don't even call my name. And you get that now because, again, they still think it's strange that when I ask people, do you know that Jesus is coming back? You know, it's like you still believe in that stuff. Well, listen, I'll tell you for sure with 1,000%, you're going to believe it. You're going to believe it. You are going to believe it. You know, you don't have to believe it now, but you're going to believe it later. And whatever you do, don't take the mark. What mark? You'll find out. You'll find out. All right. So one of the major keys is you got to maintain your relationship with God. And again, read it. Study His Word. Listen, God wrote His Word in a semi-cryptic fashion so that He would control the narrative. Because if you notice in time, over time, there's so many out there. And then there's one that's correct. See? And you got to know how to, but see, when you spend time with God, He will make sure you get it right, you know. And you're going to need to know all the tools of the weapons of warfare. And the number one is the Word. That's the sword of the Spirit. You got to know. See, when I was dealing last week with a couple of weeks ago with Mr. Corona, I kept cutting him with the Word, you know. He didn't have no right to be in my body. He was invading territory that belonged to God, see. But if I don't know that, I'll just sit there and suffer the agony. See, and if I don't know that I have to speak, that I'll just sit there and suffer the agony. If I've seen people do, I watched them suffering, breathing in that machine and struggling to breathe. I ain't go through all that. I ain't go through all that. My wife didn't go through all that. See, you got to cut that thing. You got to know the word. That's come from Mark 11:23. He said, listen, see, he's raising the revelation when he said, whatsoever you say, if you speak to the mountain. Now, people get totally focused on the mountain. God ain't going to let us tear up this world no more than we have. If he let people do that, people would just go, they'd drive out west just to get to a mountain just to see if they could tear it up. That's how, look at what they do and what they have. Nuclear energy. That's the result of mathematics, all right? I was reading one of them people anyway, Einstein or whatever, that said when he discovered the formula for that, he said we'll have World War III. I done heard two versions of this. World War III and World War IV be fought with sticks and stones. I got news for you. You want to know World War IV? That's Jesus. That's Armageddon. It ain't going to be sticks and stones. It's going to be his word. It ain't going to wipe them out. Anyway, but that's another thing, see. But, so the point of the matter is, why would the point, his objective was to develop energy so that we can have free energy and have heated homes for free or no more than what it's cost to maintain the system. And what happened? You know, I posted today that idolatry is one of the demons that Satan deploys, but yet he's ruined nations and empires over time with that one dumb demon. And he don't even talk. He just get people to, they get so caught up in stuff. They even call money fiat currency. It ain't even real, okay? They won't have this during the time of Jesus. You'll be able to eat, buy, do, go, everything. It's like I said before, if you haven't been nowhere and you feel like you're missing out, make this journey with Jesus. Because when he come back, you'll be able to go anywhere in the world free of charge, in a pollution-free environment, violent-free environment, you know, practically violent-free, you know. They're going to be some second-gen humans on you. But, they're going to be under control because Jesus said he's ruling with a rod of iron. So ain't going to be none of this weak government like we got now. I want to call them some other names, but the Bible says I have to respect dignitaries. So believe me, if the Bible – see, that's another reason you have to know. See, Satan is good at finding things we don't know, okay, and using those as cracks and chinks to get into our armor, okay? You know, and you got to be aware of those things. Like, I refrain from using the term black and white. You may think it's, you know, it's going overboard, but see, any non-truth gives Satan an edge. He's been at this for 6,000 years, so I've resorted to calling people Anglos and Euros and Afros because that's culture, people. See, my skin is brown. It is not black. This skin is taupe, T-A-U-P-E. It is not white, okay? He used that to create division, but a lie doesn't have to be big for it to be effective. See, it just has to be, and it's been told so frequently. But see, Satan knows that if that weakens my spiritual authority, he can attack. And that's all he want to do. And people gravitate to what is sensual to them. They don't, well, it don't take all that. Well, then, you know, quit whining when stuff happening to you, because trust me, if things are happening, there's either a good reason or a bad reason. You know, you can have stuff happen to you because you're in pursuit of the will of God. It said, they that live godly shall suffer persecution, which means he's going to get a person to go after you, okay? That's going to happen, you know? But as it said, Peter said that if you take stripes because you're out of order, well, you got what you deserve, you know. And that's another reason for reading the Bible. He's telling you, if you're going to live, Paul told Timothy, if you live godly, yeah, you're going to suffer persecution, okay. And, but you got to, like I said, you got to control this narrative. You got to fight this fight. God is not going to fight your battle for you. Matter of fact, what I was alluding to earlier, when you didn't get a prophetic revelation, God has said, if you are not doing what my word gives you authority to do, if you're not actively involved, you're going to suffer the consequences. That's why so many people are dying and dead, going to heaven. They could be here. Ain't nothing special about me, you know. And the battle is going to, listen, it don't take, they got to burn no candles. All you got to do is speak the word and be in authority. You know, you got to keep your alignment with God. Deuteronomy 28. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and verse 15. The verse 1, it says, if you listen diligently and do what I command. And then verse 15 says, if you don't listen. And look at it. It gives you 15 blessings. Blessings always better than curses. But after verse 15, it gives you about 35 verses of what you're going to be cursed with if you don't. And so tell me that it's to be in pursuit of the will of God is something I made up. I don't think so. Because God, listen, Satan knows. Again, think about that. God, he's invisible to you, but he's not invisible to God. You got to look at the character, how he plays a role. I've been explaining this for weeks, and I'm going to keep explaining. That's what my job is. If you want the deeper stuff, tune in to Running for Christ Ministry. You see, he got a lot of great stuff. You can binge on it. But anyway, listen, hallelujah. Listen, it's okay. So, again, my first, like I said, you got to get the word. And particularly you that I came from a culture of drug abuse. And in our nature, some of us in our nature, we just crazy like that, okay? They call it self-medicating now. Listen, you can't wait from Sunday to Sunday to worship. You got to take some time each day and worship God yourself. You got to spend at least 5 to 10 minutes every day. You got to learn the worship song. And don't listen, God does not care the fact that you're not a cappella, okay? What he is hearing is what your heart is saying when you sing. Do you believe? Do you believe what you're singing when you sing it? Are you singing in faith, believing him, you know? I mean, I have songs, I mean, and particularly, you know, when you're going through a challenge. You want to sing and praise God, and then you ask God. Then stop, take a break. That man say, set yourself, you know. And then sit still, and I just learned this, sit still and be quiet. And I just heard a man of God say that God told him he does not like people multitasking when they're seeking him. When you seek God, seek God. And then, like I said, when you put the word out there, just wait on him to answer. Reading his word is not multitasking. Now, you know, you'll be reading the Bible, and God will just start, Holy Ghost will just start speaking. All right? So you got to get in the word. You got to get into personal worship. You got to spend time with God. You want to be pursuing what he want to pursue. You want to listen so that you'll be going after the things that God wants you to go after. I may have to make some serious changes that I've been thinking about right now, you know, because people's lives are more important than anything I can think of. You know, I have a pursuit, a goal that I want to achieve, but I can't do it at the expense of people's lives. I mean, right now, some things God had me going some places. He set me up with expectations to be doing some things that I don't like to. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, I am not afraid of airplanes. I just don't like flying. For the simple reason, it ain't like an aircraft carrier where I can just get up, walk around, hang out, and move around. It ain't like, they don't have like a lounge except in first class on a 747 where you can go and hang out and just, you know, chit-chat while you're traveling. When you're on a plane, it's almost like you're held hostage. I don't know why people make like that such a great thing. Well, it probably is to them, but, I mean, it's gotten better. You got movies you can watch and all that, but, man, listen, when you start talking about going to Australia, that's a 18-hour flight, man, please. That's like being in a jail cell for 18 hours. You're just sitting there. You know, when I be doing Uber, a lot of times I be like, well, okay, because I know when people come in on them international flights, They ain't had no shower for 18 hours, man. And if they didn't shower before they got on there, spend all that, and people act like that's all glorious. Yeah, even if you had your own plane. I've been in small jets, man. It ain't all that. And I mean, you be in there for some time, please. Yeah, 15 minutes, half hour. Oh, yeah, I'm good. But when you start talking, so, but anyway, you got to be, your mind, you got to be willing to do what God say do. I'll make the sacrifice. Believe me, I'll do it because God has just been too good to me. He just did some things recently. I mean, God, he prepared me, positioned me so that when this thing occurred that he knew was going to occur, it would not have the impact that the devil thought it was going to have. And I just praise his holy name for that. And that's what you want to be. And then you want to finish this battle doing the will of God because, you know, I watch I didn't watch the awards, but I read people's comments about all these accolades that people have. And, you know, recently some people died. And I'm thinking, what did they present God? Because at the end of the day, what you present God, listen, your prayer for me, your prayer for somebody else carries more weight than if you had 15 Super Bowl rings. You can't take none of them to heaven. They mean zero to God, okay? But your prayers add up. And we are at that time. I'm telling you, you're going to see more shaking. You're going to see more shaking. I'm literally shaking. The ground going to be shaking. Now they really know that the big earthquake is coming. Well, you know, it ain't no big thing. I seen that in the Bible, and I know one thing about the Bible. If it said it, it's going to happen. Amen. This is just another little FYI. Everything in the Bible that happens is not the will of God. You got to understand the wholeness of that. People get that messed up, too. World War III is not the will of God. That's the will of man. God just has the ability to foretell it so that we can be prepared to deal with it. You say, why don't he stop it? Well, again, he's in training day. He's more interested in us. We have stopped it. The reason it hasn't happened is because of the prayers of the righteous. But when we leave the earth, it's game on. I'm telling you, it's game on. They're going to be, missiles going to be flying as soon as we leave. Because there's nobody else. The Bible, remember we read a few weeks ago, in that last series about the last days, and he who will let him. Well, we the he who will let him. And as long as we here, hey, it ain't going to happen. But trust me, it is. The Bible said it's not going to change. You can pray and hope all you want. You can delay it. And then again, you got an asteroid. You got an asteroid coming toward the earth. And then you got Israel, with not only in Israel, haven't been declared a nation. Now, Jerusalem is now the capital, as it was prophesied. I mean, they're major key in this aspect of where we are in time. It's so many markers that have been set up. Oh, this is the major. This is another major one. Recently, April 1st, Federal Reserve here in the United States of America has gone live with the business end of their cashless system. They've gone live. You can look it up. FedNow, FEDNOW, and they've gone live with that. And the expectation is by July 2023 that they will go live with the retail version, which means by the end of the year you won't be using paper money. Now that connects directly to Revelation chapter 13 verses 15 through 18, which said no man might buy or sell except him that had a mark of the beast. So you got all these things aligning up that have never been. The one of the major factors is even though that asteroid came through here before, you didn't have the advent of the cashless society. See, it was a missing element. We knew it was coming, but now it's part of the program. And recently, the nation of Nigeria outlawed paper money. And they totally cashed, and they clowning over that big time. You know, they didn't nut it up because, you know, most of their dealers is outside the major cities they deal with in cash. And so now they cash is, you know, is pretty much wallpaper. But I knew this was coming with the advent of Bitcoin. See, that technology would force them to have to move. So it's a lot of things happening that has never happened before. We've had satellite TV for decades now. Okay, but that relates to with that Revelation chapter 11, you know, where the two witnesses come and die and then raise up in the street and say everybody going to look upon them. So, again, the tie-ins are there. And that asteroid don't hit in 2029. Now I just see a documentary on the fact of about this earthquake thing. I ain't worried about that. I ain't worried about none of that. You know, you're going to, at some point in time, you're going to see some things that are just so spectacular, some to distract you. See, and again, I'm telling you, prosperity is coming. I've been hearing for years of a great wealth transfer, and that's going to occur, okay, because most people can't handle money, so whoever they transfer it to, it'll be back in the hands of the other folks within about 90 days, because all they know how to do is spend. They have no idea, no system, no plan, no nothing. I've seen it. That's what happened to Israel. That's why you had the commentary that you have in Isaiah chapter 1 and the complaint of God about them bringing him vain oblations. And I really like how he placed that, because he explained to me what that meant versus they could have just said offering. But see, it speaks to the content of the heart and the state of the individual. And that's going to be key, because the things that Satan has used throughout history to distract man have been sex, money, and power. And he's coming with that again, you know. It's worked for him. And people, look at how people are, man. They want houses. You got two people living in a 15,000-square-foot house. Won't even let no relatives move in there. I mean, come on now. You know, living on, I ain't got nothing against prosperity, but why not share with some folks? You know, how you going to not care about the rest of your family? How would you stand before God? Look at, you got corporations letting people go. They'll shut it down before they'll share the wealth. I was just reading about another company that just going to close all their stores. They're like, we ain't sharing with y'all. But you know what? That's why they close it. God ain't sharing with them. You're going to see that. That's another thing. The financial pressure. What if you lose your job? You want to know how to get God. I've been through that. I have been through that. Listen, I've never been out of unemployed more than 6 months in my life. I've never been evicted. I've never got a notice of eviction. Now, that ain't because, and see, and you're talking about a person that's still, I still lacking some classes to get a degree. If I can get through this paleoanthropology class, and if they can just, but they give me an alternative, because I can't sit there and listen to y'all lie like that. I'd rather watch Pinocchio. Anyway, but the point is that you just want to make it to the end. So you need to work. You gotta set aside time for God. I don't care if you're doing it while you're driving. It means more to God if you just get up a little earlier before work and spend some quality. I'm not talking about an hour or two, even though you should spend an hour praying for the rest of the world. But the point, I'm talking about this private time with God. Somewhere during the day, you need to give him, shake it off. It's like people go home and take a drink. You need to go home and take a praise, okay? You want to do that. You want to stay close to him, because you also want to hear directions. He'll give you ideas and revelations about your job and how to get a promotion. He'll open doors for you. You want to be connected to him. As always, you're never going to connect to God. You're never going to pray to God and it be one way. If it's one way, it's because you didn't stop and take the time to hear him say thank you. And God, listen, even though he's God, the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, he will say, thank you. I appreciate what you do. I'm telling you, God will bless you. That's what blessed is. His way of saying thank you. Thank you for taking the time and praying for somebody to get saved so I can move and rescue my family. God will do that. I'm telling you. You just don't know how. You got to let yourself, you got to connect with him. You got to connect with him. You connect with him, he'll connect back. I'm telling you, I've been doing this for years. But anyway, I hope I gave you a little encouraging word. The Lord gave me something new. Boy, I tell you, he just showed me something. You know, it's amazing. That's the thing about God. They say he likes the ocean. The farther out you go, the deeper he gets. Amen. But anyway, so this may be the first time you're hearing this. It may be before the rapture, maybe after the rapture. It doesn't matter if you hear it. Just believe it. You believe it. It starts with believing. It doesn't start with a college education, you know, going to Bible training. It starts with you simply believing. And all you have to do is believe it. Say, Lord God, I believe you are the true and the living God. I believe the Bible is your word. And I believe that it said what it says about man being born in sin. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. I also believe that you sent your son to die for our sin. And I'm asking you right now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved, I am born again. And that's amazing. That is amazing. If you want to know how different that is from what they had to do in the Old Testament, read Leviticus chapter 4 and visualize what's going on. That was a messy deal. It really was. Amen. Well, anyway, again, like I said, hang on in there. Stay close to God because the rapture's at any minute. There ain't no set time on that. Because there are things going on that we don't know are going on. There are plans being made that Satan is making up. And God, at the end of the day, got it under his control. And notice that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom.